the reaction of our offensive guys. On Tuesday in practice, I mentioned that Josh Lydell a week ago was called into action because of a penalty. Obviously, removed Rohan, and he went in. And I think all of us took a collective deep breath when we talked about defensively what kind of calls we wanted to make because we had a new player in there. And he just responded so well that gave us the win last week on Tuesday. After practice, when I called him up, I brought that up and said, I don't know who's going to be called upon on Saturday. It may be my second-string right guard on punt, my second-string right guard on offense. Whatever it is, somebody's going to get called upon. Little did I know it was going to be our backup quarterback.
All right, there you go. Welcome into the zone live from the Little Rock Touchdown Club for the final time, presented by our friends at Epic Health. It is the last one of the season until the big banquet that will star Michael Irvin. We will be joined today by former Arkansas offensive lineman, an appropriate probably connection here on the final day, Pat.
Yes.
Sean Andrews will join us here. And, of course, he was also an All-Pro with the Eagles in the NFL during his stint there. He's an interesting guy, an Arkansas native, certainly, and a good dude. Look forward to visiting with him today, get his thoughts on the Arkansas season. And, by the way, woo pig suey, the Hogs are going bowling, baby.
Sean's a very thoughtful man.
I would think that's a fair way to say it.
He's a very thoughtful man. And it's funny because you, knowing some offensive linemen like I do, and,
yeah,
of course, you know, following the game for so long, you have offensive linemen sometimes been compared to surgeons, how they go about doing things. Thoughtful, understand. Of course, they got to be as tough as anybody else out there on the field. So it's going to be great to talk to him to see his approach to the game, what he thought of the offensive line, how, because they are, at the end of the day, you see a big difference when you have even last night's game. Tony Romo is able to basically take as much time as he wants to pick out a target he wants, Dez Bryant in the end zone, versus Eli Manning that's playing most of the game on his backside.
So poor guy.
Ask those two guys how important they think their O-line, which we know that.
Yeah, speaking of getting whacked, your boy Malley got smashed yesterday a couple of times.
That was tough.
Tore his boob.
Yeah, no, that pec.
Got a pec tear.
That's tough, man.
No, that sounds bad. I don't know anybody. I only know one other guy who's ever torn his pectoralis muscle, and it was in a weightlifting accident. Our buddy Vegas Dave tore his pec, and he was out for like six
Vegas
weeks.
Dave. I mean, come on, Vegas Dave. Give it up, bro. You're still competing. You're still trying to lift weights.
You're a great athlete.
I'll be shooting around at the local gymnasium, and I'll hear somebody hitting a heavy bag. It's Dave. Vegas Dave.
Let me tell you something. If you get in a street fight, he's a guy you want on your side.
His shoulder's going to pop out of place.
Yeah, not until he lands a couple of haymakers.
Yeah, maybe true.
So the Hogs did it again. They jumped out to an early lead, and they made it stand up. 17-0 after one, and they win it 30-0 back-to-back shutouts. And I'm sure most people have seen all the numbers about how long it's been since they've had conference shutouts, how long it's been since they've had back-to-back shutouts. You've probably seen all the numbers.
Yep.
Here's the one that stood out to me, and I thought this after I saw the offensive totals from the game this weekend, and then I researched it. That's what I do. I research. I don't just wing it or guess. I research, Pat. Didn't take long. Arkansas's lowest two offensive outputs this year came the last two games. Their worst offensive production the last two games of the entire year, and they win them both in convincing and shutout fashion. It just goes to show you. It's like Matty T always says. Defense wins championships.
I say that all the time.
Buddy, if you said it once, you've said it 10,000 times. And it turns out to be true yet again.
Listen, you can point to some of the most high-profile offenses that have played. Remember when Auburn, Florida State played? It came. Everyone thought it was going to be a shootout.
Right.
In fact, it wasn't.
No.
It came down to some key stops. And you do have to have some kind of an offensive, pretty good offense. I mean, if you want to talk about winning championship, you got to be able to score, number one. It's always, at the end of the day, name of the game is going to be able to score, but you have either an opportunistic defense or you have to have the ability to make stops when you need them. We always talk about that.
Arkansas has both.
You don't have to have, like, the best defense in the land.
Right. You can give up yards all over the place. You got to bend, don't break. There's lots of teams that give up tons of yards but can make turnovers in the red zone, or they do other things where they're opportunistic, like you said.
Absolutely.
A couple of absolutes I've come to determine when it comes to college football especially. Turnovers are the name of the game. I would venture a guess, and here's one where I didn't do the research on it because, let's be honest, it would take a team of people hours and hours unless you had some sort of computerized algorithm that could calculate this in mere moments. I would venture to guess.
Give me a shot.
I'd venture to guess that the team that wins the turnover battle wins the game 80 to 85% of the time. I don't think that's probably overstating that particular statistic.
There's no doubt it's always correlated to that. And the thing I would say always is it's a game of mistakes. They are always games of mistakes. And especially when you look at on the college level versus a professional level, it's even more on the high school level, it's a game of mistakes. If you can manage your mistakes as a coaching staff, you can manage because you know they're going to happen. There will be turnovers. There will be penalties.
Usually.
There will be guys who miss block. But if you can manage those mistakes, it's always the people who can do that better ultimately wins the game.
The Arkansas-LSU game, for example, Arkansas was plus one. It was a 1-0 turnover margin for Arkansas. This week, Arkansas has one turnover, but they're plus five. They win significantly, which means they win going away. And the thing is, yeah, if they had beaten LSU with a plus five turnover margin, they would have beat them 30-0 or better. Arkansas's offense is not doing a lot, frankly, right now. But
they won't give it back to you, though.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
it.
They take advantage. They manage their own mistakes, limit them, and I think Coach B's done a great job of that.
Arkansas had 311 yards of offense this week in the victory. They had under 300 yards of offense in the win over LSU last week. But the defense is playing well, and the offense is not turning it over, which in turn doesn't put the defense in a bad situation. So, got to give a game ball to the defense and the offense for taking care of the ball. For no other reason than taking care of the ball, because the defense, it turns out, is good enough. And Arkansas is good enough in the other phases to win games if you do just enough. Because you know the games are shortened already because of the just enough run game, even against good defenses. Arkansas has got its hands full this week. Short week of preparation, road game at Missouri. If you want in, now's the time, because once we get into the 11 o'clock hour, it's tough to get in on these Mondays. I will say this, after this, the final touchdown club, it'll be a little easier in the second, third hour on Mondays. But for now, it's going to be tough because we've got our final
buddy, we only got
show here.
Two Mondays left to talk football. Well, Razorback football. Anyway.
You know what I was thinking? It's a great correlation of this week being Thanksgiving week. Football is just like Thanksgiving. You get all this hype, all the lead-up, all the excitement about it, and then the next thing you know, boom, it's over. Thanksgiving, all the thought process, all the menu making, all the cooking that goes into it, and everybody smashes their food in like 20 minutes.
Hey, I'd do it to hang around with family and friends and people that I cherish.
There's no doubt, but I'm saying as far as the food part of it goes, it's just like football season. There's a huge lead-up and a lot of talk about it and all kinds of setup, and then the execution of the cooking and the serving, and then all of a sudden it's like, yum, 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 over.
Is that how you eat at the house, like the Cookie Monster? And you just throw like chicken.
You've seen my Italian family. Oh, there's pasta sauce on the wall. There's rigatonis hanging from the chandelier. There's turkey hanging out of the dog's mouth. I mean, there's food everywhere.
Has that ever happened to you? Seriously, I've cooked a variety of things in my kitchen, and I still walk by, and it'd be like,
oh yeah.
Anything that splatters from like months ago.
So like sometimes I'll get it with like if I get a whisk out and I'm making pancake mix in the morning, you know. So if I'm not quite awake, but I'm making Maddox breakfast. So pancake mix and pasta sauce. Those are the two things I find the most.
Hey Maddox, can you grab that off the wall for
me,
please?
That looks like 2011 batch.
Hey, we're gonna cook that up. Can you grab that off the
exactly.
wall, please?
Exactly.
Scrape that off the ceiling for me. I think it's time.
Oh, I'm excited about this week. What's your favorite? And I asked this last week. What's your favorite dish? What's your favorite non-turkey dish? Anything besides? If I coreless turkey, what's your favorite side?
Listen, you know I'm an American, true American.
So I've heard.
Okay, true American. And I've never been truly my Thanksgiving, I've always enjoyed the side dishes more. Listen, I like turkey just as much as the next guy likes turkey. I like turkey with the mashed potatoes and the gravy, some cranberry sauce, no doubt about it, okay? No questions asked. But I always liked what accompanied the turkey, which we would have a pre-pasta meal of ravioli or lasagna. And I sort of seem to gravitate towards that more than anything.
I'm
meatballs
with you.
And sausages. So, I mean, the turkey, it's more of a tradition. You say, why don't you eat turkey more often throughout the year?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Chalk shout to me for not doing it.
That kind of traditional turkey dinner does not excite me as much as some of the other holiday foods.
Oh, I will make the other stuff that goes with it. And the other thing is, too, here's something that people need to realize and don't think about, especially my sister-in-law who complained to my wife knowing that we're hosting. She was concerned that all we were going to have was Italian food. I'm like, look, you know nobody makes a better turkey than I do. But here's the thing that people don't think about. You get that red sauce, the gravy. That gravy, the Italian gravy, working with that turkey
nada.
And a little meatball on the side. There ain't much better in this world, my friend, with a little glass of vino than that right there. I'm telling you.
I like it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have some fun. I got about three locations I got to hit up.
Oh, well, you're very popular.
Maybe four.
Very popular. Matty T, what's your favorite side dish to go with your turkey on Thanksgiving?
I like the good old green bean casserole.
Oh, I love green bean casserole. Yeah. You know what? Somebody tried to serve me some green bean casserole once without the French onions that you only eat once a year.
No,
how does that company, how does Durkee stay in business with that French onion, the French fried onions? What, nobody uses those throughout the entire year until Thanksgiving week.
That's a, they sell a lot of them, my friend.
I guess so.
There's a lot of green bean casserole fans going around.
I mean, like, after Christmas is over, do they give the entire company the entire, I mean, they probably need the whole year to clean up all the grease in there from all the
you
onion rings they sling.
You'd think they'd be making a push for a second Thanksgiving in July, right?
June.
Just in June.
Christmas in July, Thanksgiving in June. I think they should.
Fine. Do we have to get gifts for this Thanksgiving?
No.
And Christmas?
Well, that's a great thing about Thanksgiving. All you do is eat. I do is eat, 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 no matter what.
Do you... And, you know, I'm not laughing at anybody. But does your family go around the table and tell everyone what they're thankful for?
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you record it? Does anyone believe you?
No. I mean, I can't make, like, a movie trailer out of it or anything, but, yeah, no, I don't.
I mean, does it have any effect?
No, I think it's good, though.
And because how long does it take before everyone's like,
usually
I hate you, I'm not thankful for you, get out of my house.
That doesn't happen like that. No, there's normally a tear shed. People get a little verklempt, if you will. Like that.
I thought that was the gas.
You know what? I'm thankful that you came back this last year. You're going to make my Thanksgiving this year, buddy. And I appreciate Matty T hanging in there.
Matty T,
been through the good times and the bad times. Let me get Mike in here real quick, and then we'll move on. Hey, Mike.
Justin, hey, you're talking about green bean casserole?
You got that right, bro.
Add a little Rotel into it. Give her a little spice to it.
Get out of here.
Come on.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I like
just
that.
A little. Put a little bit in it, and it gives it a flavor you'll never wonder about.
Okay, Michael, never wonder about it then. All right, sounds good. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Rotel.
A couple other things related to the Razorback game from the weekend. Two things, both negative. I hate to be this way. But first of all, there was a missing participant this weekend. I really thought, usually when you give somebody a final chance, it takes them a while to screw it up. Corliss Marshall is no longer a part of the Razorback program, at least at this point. And Coach Bielema, I believe, phrased it as something to the effect of it was a long shot that he would ever come back. What in the world is going on, and what exactly is going on with Corliss Marshall that he has not been able to figure this out until it came to a head like it has come to now?
Yeah. Well,
sad.
It is sad, and you can tell that it's got to be something just a little bit more than your typical late for a meeting or late for class.
Yep.
Because,
and maybe that's what happened at the end, but that is the, as they say, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, he's so talented. If there's anybody who you want to try to give as many opportunities to get where they need to be, it's a guy like that. We've seen what he can do. There's no question. Usually when you hear this much about it, and I know we don't know exactly what happened, but it's sort of been like a theme throughout the last few months with him. There is probably so much more that we don't even know about. So, like, I mean, he's talked about how he's given him so many more chances, and this would be, as a head coach, one of the saddest stories of
that's
a player.
That's right. That's what he said. You're right.
What is my man? Maybe Matty Q can cue that up. I don't know if we have it. In the Bronx Tale, he says there's nothing sadder than missed potential.
Yeah, that's
a guy who doesn't live up to his potential. There really is nothing sadder than that.
It is. It's wasted potential. He's an incredible talent. He's a guy that definitely could play on Sunday. I mean, remember in the preseason, you're talking about, Coach, you're going to play in both ways. We know he's an NFL talent. I mean, we were all about him. He was your guy. You were over the top about Corliss Marshall the way I was about the running back from Alabama, who's also had a bit of a quiet year.
Justin,
but not because he's in trouble.
Touched the ball at the beginning of the LSU game, those first few times he touched. And he's the guy. You know what it was? I was watching, you know, just watching the game. You can't help but think, go back when you see these running backs. You know, you think about D-Mac and you think about Felix.
Mm-hmm.
And there was times when those guys touched up, you just knew they were going to take it 60, 70 yards.
Right.
I mean, there was a time when they could take it to the house at any moment, right? Those guys, Alex Collins, Jay Will, they're tough. Alex Collins is shifty. But I don't get that same sense that they could break one at any moment.
They don't seem to be home run hitters the same way.
Corliss Marshall gives me that sense. Like,
I agree.
Anytime he touches the ball, it could be boom. Next thing you know, he's 75 yards down the field.
Well, and much like Felix, too, on the kick returns. You never know when he might bust one. And it's such a huge weapon. It sucks for him and it sucks for them. I want to give a jockstrap to the whole situation. I don't know what happened or how it went. But I go back to something Charlie Strong said in the beginning of the season when he was kicking guys off left and right. People were like, oh, my God, what's happening? Here's the deal, and he said it best. If 80 guys can do it right, how come 85 can't? Why not all 85? And that's the deal. You can't make special concessions except at Florida State for your Jameis Winston quarterback who can do anything up to and including pushing a ref out of his way when he doesn't like where he's standing. So outside of that, you got to do the right thing. I hate it for Corliss. I hope he lands somewhere, if it doesn't work out at Arkansas ultimately, that he can be successful, whether that's at an FCS school. Oh, my God, I cannot imagine him in an FCS program. He would just light it up. Or if he bides his time and sits and waits for another Division I FBS opportunity. But
you know what, though, Justin? Sometimes you can lead that horse to water. You can't make him drink. I played with a couple kids who had extreme talent, who actually understood the difference between right and wrong, understood when and what they should do. They just had something about them that they could not follow through and ultimately follow the rules that they needed to.
Yeah.
And no matter how many opportunities you gave them, no matter how many times you talked to them, we need you, come on, let's do this, we get a chance to do something special here, they just couldn't get out of their own way. It was like they just had that something about them that it gravitated towards doing the wrong thing. And and you hope he wakes up out of it before it's too late. You hope that light bulb comes on. How many times do we say it's unfortunate, all these talented guys, the light bulb doesn't come on sometimes until they're like 30.
Right.
And guess what has passed them by, their career.
Right. There's no question. Well, I hate it for him.
You hope his light bulb comes on, like, now.
The other one is one that couldn't be helped, and that was Brandon Allen being dinged up in the game. And the indication I got, initially I thought it was not real severe. They said it was a soft tissue injury.
Yeah.
Now it sounds like some stuff might be kind of jacked up inside there. So he may not be available. I'll say this. I'll say it. From what I saw this weekend, there's not a significant drop-off. I'm sure there are reads that Brandon's more comfortable making. I'm sure there are protections that he's probably more comfortable calling. I'm sure there's certain things that come a little bit easier to him. But I think as far as gameplay goes and the importance of the quarterback position in this offense and this team right now, I don't think Arkansas suffers significantly if Austin Allen takes the start against Missouri Friday. It is a road game, though.
There's a couple things. First of all, he's taken some snaps. So in there, he's never started a game on the road, last game of the year, and guess what? Missouri's trying to go. They're playing for something, SEC championship, okay?
Unfortunately, yes, they are. And a game ball to me for picking them only because you picked Tennessee.
I know, Tennessee. You know what? How can somebody's offense be so bad?
You know what?
Help me!
Statistically speaking,
yeah,
that was an even game. In fact, I think Tennessee may have slightly outgained Missouri in that game, Pat, but it goes back to what?
I don't know.
Turnovers. We talked about it. It's all about turnovers. Anyway.
I mean, this is
what do you
so
think that,
crazy.
And the thing is, here's the deal.
Yes.
I think if Brandon Allen starts, Missouri's going to pin their ears back and come after him like great balls of fire. And if
awesome.
His brother starts,
they're
going to pin their ears back, come great balls of fire. That D-line is no joke.
You know what I observed, though, a couple of times in that game, and I've observed it throughout the last few games, is Brandon, when he rolls or when he gets in trouble, he has already got such a connection and an understanding with A.J. Derby, Hunter Henry, those guys. Where,
what's up with those guys? Are they healthy?
Yeah, they are, but that's what I'm saying.
But Derby came out of the game early, too. What's his status? I haven't seen any follow-up on him.
But, you know, Sterner would always talk about how when they get to the line of scrimmage, he could just look at Lucas and give him a nod, and they had already been so familiar with each other in practice and other games that they'd find each other.
Yeah.
And Brandon Allen has developed that with when
no
he's
doubt.
In trouble, he can just pitch it out to Derby. He did that a couple of times.
Here's what
those
I would
are the
do.
Things that I don't know if Austin Allen has that yet.
Let me play Monday morning armchair quarterback, and I'm not questioning anything they've done. If their hand is forced and Austin Allen's a starter on Friday, I think here's what I do. I put Austin Allen in. Certainly I try to ride the running game. I'll tell you this much. The one thing they have been loath to do is screens and draws. And the way that Missouri's going to come after you like their hair's on fire all afternoon, you better throw some screens and draws in there or it's going to be a long day for your quarterback. In addition to that, I would absolutely work in the package that we saw very little of, but the very little we saw had some effectiveness. I would mix in a little doo-wop as a dual threat Wildcat quarterback because it mixes things up. And it's unfortunate. Again, you go back to the Corliss Marshall not being available. How much fun would it be to have Corliss at quarterback? Maybe you run a jet sweep with Jay Will, with Collins in the backfield with Corliss. Or you could do all kinds of unique, interesting things back there. Or you could use one of the receivers in that role. But my thing is you get that taken away with Corliss out. But the bottom line is with Duop back there, you got to mix it in. I want to give him 100 different looks. Because here's the thing. Right now you're not dynamic offensively, but your defense is playing great. You need to make sure you don't turn the ball over. Get a couple of creative mixed-in things there, and maybe you hit him for a couple of big plays and score a couple of cheapies. I love it.
You look at it as you've accomplished what some people thought you were, but you're in bowl game right now.
Right. You are in a bowl game. That's the most important thing.
I mean, it's going to be a tall task to go to Missouri and win that game.
Matty T, I meant to do this before the game.
You can still do it, though.
You're right. I meant to do this before the game today or before the show today, but the next couple of days, if you can get some Kingpin clips and some clips from
I'm sorry. Callers like Danny, like, I can't go on air, and they just want to sit there and chat all day. So
anyway, the next day,
okay.
If you get some time, could you find some clips from The Big Lebowski and Kingpin or any other bowling movie you can think of? I want some bowling clips because we're going bowling.
Good idea,
I love
big
going
guy.
Bowling.
Good idea, big
going
guy.
Bowling.
I don't know if anyone's ever even heard of that.
Bowling.
Here's the deal. How about a game ball to Hatcher?
Hatcher? Keon?
Yeah. You ever heard of him?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
Did you see how that cat started the game?
I'm more interested in what Gaines did, considering he only got to play a half and he had a pick six 100 yards if you need him.
Buddy, did you see how Keon Hatcher started the game?
Yeah.
Reverse. Key block.
See?
Touchdown!
Creativity.
Keon Hatcher.
Creativity. How long was the touchdown pass? 25 yards?
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
I like that.
It seemed like it was easy to score.
You know what's interesting?
On Ole Miss outside of the red zone.
Well, there's that. Four dudes caught balls, Pat. Four dudes caught balls.
How many girls?
30-0 win.
No girls?
Four guys caught touchdowns. I mean, caught passes, period. 25-yard touchdown pass from Allen to Hatcher. Alex Collins with a one-yard run. We had a McFain field goal in the mix there. Gaines with the interception return. McFain with another field goal. McFain with another field goal. McFain had three field goals. Game ball to him. He should be special teams player of the week in the SEC this week. But they had four dudes catch balls. Four dudes. Drew Morgan had three. Keon Hatcher had two. Hunter Henry had two. A.J. Derby had one. Is that not ridiculous? That's amazing. Four guys caught balls. They caught eight passes total, and they won 30-0 because you know why? The quarterbacks didn't have to throw it 40 times like they were doing three games in a row. Things changed at the LSU game, and it changed again this week. Quarterback throws it 17 times between the two of them.
You know
by the way, Austin was 3 out of 5 for 65 yards, and they run it 50 times.
You know why that helps a lot is when you're up 17-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Well, it does. What's the what was the time of possession difference here? And again, I think
25 to 34. So about
a lot of that's
9 minutes, 8 minutes.
Yeah,
technically 26 to 34.
7-5 advantage for Arkansas. I think it's a little bit of overstated stat, but in Arkansas's offense, it's absolutely vital. They keep in those drives alive when they end up on third down. They were only 4-15 on third down. That's amazing. Hey. Kudos to the defense. You force all those turnovers. It skews your numbers offensively.
1 of 1, fourth down efficiency. Come on, baby. Wow.
And they held Ole Miss 0 of 2. Arkansas is number one in FBS football, number one in fourth down conversion rate defensively. They're number one against other teams on fourth down.
You know what I know Ole Miss was in trouble?
Number one defensively, I guess I should say.
When they had to run Bo Wallace like the first four times of that game.
That's all they got.
It was like, bro, this poor guy is not going to be able to continue to run and take the hits.
Bad Bo.
And then he fumbles.
But Bad Bo.
But yeah, Bad Bo, but it's like.
I love Bad Bo.
Come on, you can look at this guy and know he's not a Tim Tebow.
Buddy, he's only had one bad half all year. He had a horrible game on Saturday.
You can't run him
you picked
like
a
that.
Fine time to leave me, Bo Wallace.
These guys taking shots up the middle. What do you want him to do?
I love it.
He's not Superman.
Great defensive game plan. Smash Bo Wallace. That's their only weapon.
He's not Tom Brady. Come on.
Cole, I know you're there.
You're going to get some in your stocking, Cole, for hanging up on us.
That's it. We're going to get a new call. That's what I want for Christmas. New call screener board.
I like it.
I'll pay for it. I don't even care. I'll pay for it. I'm on fire.
I like it.
Matty T, is there someone on tour, or are they just teasing me?
I'm sorry.
Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys.
Hey, bud.
Did y'all get the rankings already?
Yes.
Yeah, but I can't release them yet.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Arkansas was 26th in the AP poll if the poll were to be extended one spot, and I think 28th in the coaches poll. So they are getting some national respect as expected.
Okay, where's Ole Miss?
Ole Miss is up there in the top 20, but they have three losses. Arkansas has five, so I don't have a problem with that.
Well, what about Missouri?
Missouri's in the top 25, and they're number one in the East. They should be. They've only
got a couple. What, 22?
I think they're 18th in one poll, maybe. But they've only got a couple losses, and we'll see what happens there with after
they win. But they're still below Ole Miss, right?
I believe so, or right around the same spot. We'll see. I'm really curious to see what the college football playoff folks do because they're not really beholden to any sort of traditions or typical voting patterns. They go off what they think are the best teams, and I like that about them. Let me look here. I've got the rankings in front of me in this beautiful Democrat Gazette that I have. It is Ole Miss 18, Missouri 17 in the AP poll. And in the coaches' poll, it is Missouri 17, Ole Miss 19.
Well, I've already developed a little rivalry with Missouri in my book.
Okay.
So you know, I want my glass half full, if you don't mind.
All right. So you think they win this week?
I want them to terribly, more so than Ole Miss.
All right.
So let's leave that glass half full for me and just keep filling it up.
All right, I'm with you, Russ. Thank you for the call. I would love a seventh win. Arkansas is going bowling, and the seventh win opens up all kinds of new and interesting opportunities from a bowl standpoint, or so I would think.
Since he brought up some top 25 talk after the break, I got a jock strap for two schools that have something in common, more than one thing in common.
Okay.
But boy, big jock strap.
And we also are going to talk to our good friend, Christy.
Oh, we are?
About a special event that's coming up. Briefly. She's with our Cartridge World. Taking care of my ink needs at home and in the office. I appreciate her. And she just threw us a free yellow bag. What a beautiful thing.
What? Yeah. I don't nearly have as many yellow bags as I should.
Yes, I have a free yellow bag. And I pay for my ink.
It's got two handles on it.
So affordable and good.
It means I can carry things on
this
there.
Segment is brought to you by our friends at Ava Bella Day Spa. And Christy, I don't know if your husband's listening, but I know that you want a Christmas special, whether it comes before Christmas or before Thanksgiving. For $100, you can get a 30-minute stress reliever massage and a custom facial. And for $25 more, you can extend that 30-minute massage to a full hour. And, of course, the facial is included as well. If she is not into massages, you got a whole array of spa services to choose from. Skincare, waxing, manicures, pedicures, just to name a few. And the great thing is you don't have to go outside to do it. AvaBellaDaySpa.com. Ava, A-V-A, Bella, B-E-L-L-A, DaySpa.com. From your home or work computer. Or your smartphone, even. You can actually purchase the gift certificate online, pay for it, print it, and give it to her that way. So nice. And the other thing is, if you're going to someone's house for Thanksgiving, you might want to bring them an Ava Bella Day Spa gift certificate just to say, thanks for having me over for food. I appreciate you. All I did was show up and feed my fat face. Here's what I got for you, though. Thank you for all the effort. Because we were talking about it earlier. What happens? Whoever's doing the cooking gets up at like 5 in the morning. They cook all day until lunchtime or dinner time, depending on which time you eat. And then they sit down for 5 minutes and do this. Yum, 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 yum. And then it's over. What do they get? The satisfaction of seeing you with a full